the Financial Sense Lifetime Planning Program. Here's your host, Jim Poplava.
Well, as you're well aware, another tax bill is working its way through Congress. We've had different permutations of this bill. Let's find out what's being proposed. Joining us on the program is Chris Hennessy. He's a tax lawyer and CPA. He's on Putnam's Advisory Committee, and he's Professor Emeritus of Law at Babson College. Chris, last time you talked, we were discussing the various proposals, increase in the tax rate. They were talking about deemed disposition. In other words, there'd be a capital gains tax on death. There were all kinds of things they were talking about, getting rid of the 20% on S-corps, all kinds of stuff. So I wonder if we could begin on what's being proposed now and what has changed from the last time you and I talked.
Yeah, sure, Jim. Thanks for having me on again. So all we have so far is a proposal from House Ways and Means Committee, meaning it this proposal passed House Ways and Means. It has not been called for a full vote in the House. And my understanding is that the House and the Senate are now talking and they're trying to work out differences. So when we see the final House bill debated, there'll be some amendments. Like later on, we should talk about the SALT. But what we basically got is a few things. One, we've got an increase in the top marginal rate from 37 to 39.6, and incomes over 400,000 single or 450 married. And I think that'll probably hold up. But one thing to realize there, Jim, is that you have situations where a lot of people could be today at 450,000 of taxable income. They're at a 35% rate marginally. So they're going to go all the way to basically 40. So that's a 5% jump. And then we were just talking earlier, the capital gains rate. So Biden had proposed, okay, you got to be over $1 million of income and your cap gain rate is going to go to 43.4%. Well, that didn't happen. The income levels for the capital gains increase, it would actually go to 25% plus the 3.8% surtax. So in effect, 28.8%. But the income levels are only 400,000 single and 450 married. So much lower income levels. And then the real thing here is, that this is, if this passes, that change is already in effect. It's for transactions occurring after September 13th of 2021. So it's already there.
He was saying that anybody making under 400, they wouldn't do it. But the capital gains tax and the tax on dividends, that was $1 million. So you're saying in this latest version, it would begin at 400 and 450?
Yeah, and that 400 and 450 is bottom line. That's income after your deductions. That's exactly right, Jim.
Wow.
So that's a big change, right? That's a big change. So, you know, overall, what we talked about so far means that, hey, I want to push income into this year because my tax rates are going to be higher next year. And I probably want to push deductions into next year, like charity, for example, like maxing out my HSA and 401k plan because that's pre-tax. And then we got this SALT thing. So anybody in California knows what that's about, the $10,000 limit on the deductibility of state and local taxes. The word is nothing in the proposal about SALT. The word I'm getting is there'll be an amendment on the floor, eliminate the 10 grand, unlimited deductibility for 1 year, 2022, and then bring it back in 23. Now, if that stands, because that's going to satisfy the progressives on the Democratic side. Jim, if that stands up, then you got to think about, okay, well, gee, you know, my tax rate's going to be higher next year. I want to push my last quarter real estate tax payment and my last quarter estimated payment to the state of California into January of 2022. So you got to stay on top of this, really.
You know, Chris, why only 1 year? Is that just for election purposes or why?
Well, I think there's two reasons. One, by eliminating it, it's going to cost the government $80 to $100 billion a year. So that in the scoring of this legislation is a negative factor. And then two is the optics. The optics are horrible for the Democrats. When you eliminate SALT, most of the benefit goes to the top 1%. Very little benefit goes to someone making $50,000, $80,000, $100,000 a year. So the Democrats are arguing, hey, you know, we're going after the wealthy. We're going after the wealthy. But they're helping the wealthy by taking away the SALT limitation of 10,000. So I think those are the reasons, and they're kind of bargaining or negotiating this right now.
So let's move on. A couple other things. They were going after sub-S corporations. They were going to get rid of that 20% exclusion.
Yes.
They're going to add an additional 3.8. I mean, they are really going after small business.
Yeah, I think the small business part's horrible. So the number of things. One, you're right. What they did was that there's a flow-through deduction of 20% to flow through to entities like S-Corps and sole proprietors. And what they did with that one is they capped the deduction at 500 grand. So if you do the math, 500 grand times four brings you up to 2.5 million. So 50% of 20% of 2.5 million is your $500,000 cap. So once your profits are over 2.5 million, you're not going to get anything more than a $500,000 deduction. So potentially for very profitable S corps, they're taking away a lot of that deduction. I mean, I was on the phone recently. These folks were on the West Coast, and they got a business with $2 billion a year in sales. It's an S corp. They're going to get creamed. Mm. In addition to that, you got to think about, okay, well, the C corp rate, which today is a flat 21%, is going to go to 26.5. It's actually graduated a little, but 26.5. So if I'm a very profitable S corp, why wouldn't I want to think about becoming a C corp? Draw a salary out, and now you get a spread of 14% that I'm saving.
Yeah, Chris, we're doing that with our clients right now that are S corps.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's another little problem. Is you and I both know, a lot of S corps, what they do is the owners draw out a reasonable salary, and then all the rest of the profits show up on what we call line one of the K-1 form. But they get taxed on my tax return. But they're not subject to any payroll tax or any 3.8% surtax on investment income. Under the proposal, they would get hit with the 3.8% surtax on pass-through business entities. So that's another reason to go or consider going from S to C.
So they're really going after small business, and that's what we're doing with our clients, Chris. We're saying, look, you could be hit with 44%. Or would you prefer to pay 26 or 25%? And of course, it's obvious.
Right. Yeah.
Let's talk about some of the estate taxes, because in the last proposal, they were going to get rid of the stepped up basis and cost. And I wonder if you'd explain that for our listeners. And then also they were going to do something that could be devastating to farm owners, business owners. And quite honestly, anybody inheriting anything, there would be a deemed disposition at death, and you would pay capital gains tax.
Yeah. So let's just go through what step up means first. A simple example: if I had an asset, let's say I paid $100,000, I bought Amazon, and Amazon's now worth $10 million, and I sell it. Well, I got a $9.9 million gain. But if I hold on to it until I die, and I leave it to my kids or my wife or whatever, their cost basis is no longer $100,000. It's $10 million. It gets stepped up. So I've wiped out the gain to them. Now, the change was, the discussion initially, Jim, was, oh, we're going to eliminate step up. We're going to go to carryover cost basis. So in that example I just used, my kids would get a cost basis of $100,000. So, but at least they didn't have to pay a gain until they sold the asset. Well, what they did was even worse, Biden's proposal. He wanted to say, hey, in the year I die, there's a recognition event, even though I never sold Amazon the year of my death. In that example, a $9.9 million gain on my final tax return. That didn't happen in the proposal. So that's the good news.
Had they done that, though, and we see this all the time, Chris, so let's say, let's say that the estate owes $2 million in estate taxes. The heirs have to sell assets.
Yes.
To pay for that. If you get rid of the step up and everything else, you are really confiscating a lot of assets.
Oh, yeah. Not only that, but I say it's not in the proposal. But there are rumblings that Ron Wyden, who's Democratic senator from Oregon, chair of House of Senate Finance Committee, he still wants some sort of recognition of it. At death. And maybe what he's discussing is, okay, every American would have had $1 million exemption from that gain. But now he's saying, well, maybe let's push that to $5 million. I don't think that's going to happen, but it's out there. It's being discussed.
Well, the key thing is, as you know, let's take our listeners back in history. Prior to Ronald Reagan, there was estate taxes on the death of the first spouse, because when I got into financial planning, Chris, we were splitting the assets between the husband and wife because, you know, usually the husband passed away, the wife got whacked with estate taxes. Reagan, and plus capital gains taxes. Reagan comes in, gives us the step up, raises the exemption, lowers the tax rates. And that's been in place because we were losing all the family farms. But that keeps coming back. You remember Obama tried to get rid of the step up.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, it was discussion. Yep. It's something that has to, actually, it's funny. I think it was back in the, one of the tax reform acts actually eliminated step up, and it was carryover cost basis, but Congress then, or the Treasury, decides it's too complicated. We're not going to do it. So it never happened. But what is going to happen, according to the proposal, Jim, is to replace, hey, no step up still there, no deemed recognition of benefit death, but we're going to bring that $11.7 million lifetime exemption amount and amount available death down to about $6 million beginning next year. So you think about it. All right. So 11.7 doubled is 23.4 million. A lot of married couples are under 23.4. Current law, they don't have to worry about a federal estate tax. But now bring that down to 6 million, doubled is 12. A lot of married couples could be either over 12 or approaching 12 with growth. Look at the stock market alone. And then maybe they got a second home and they got funds in their retirement accounts. So a lot of them are going to have to consider more advanced estate planning beginning next year.
What also concerns me, Janet Yellen gave a talk this week, and she said, there's a lot of real estate that's appreciated in this country, and it's gone untaxed. And she sort of suggested that we tax annual appreciation.
Right, right. This is called mark to market. And Ron Wyden started that one, too. Literally, at the end of every year, you'd look at, well, an easy example is you just look at the balance in your brokerage accounts. And if it went, you know, if your account went up 500 grand, you pay a tax on that 500 grand, even though you didn't sell anything. That's horrible. And then you'd have to have, I guess, other assets like real estate appraised. So if this ever happened, Jim, in my next life, I'm going to be a certified professional appraiser.
You know, but how can they actually administer that? I mean,
very hard. I don't think it would happen. Very hard.
Yeah, I just couldn't see real estate because, I mean, you know, try to get your house appraised. That's even if you can get an appraiser. But I mean, I just can't see. I don't know how many homes there are in this country. But can you see every year getting an annual appraisal and then you owe a tax?
It'd be crazy.
No, it'd be nuts.
It'd be absolutely crazy. Yeah, it'd be nuts, yeah. And you know what, Jim? I question the constitutionality. If you read the current tax laws in the 16th Amendment, I don't think mark-to-market is even constitutional because it's really a tax on an increase in wealth, not an income tax.
And the other thing is, as you know, even with the stock market, if you were to try to do that, so let's say you had $1 million portfolio at the end of the year, it's $1.2 million. They tax you on that $200,000 of appreciation, but the following year you're in a bear market and your account drops from $1.2 million down to $700,000. What do you do then?
Yes. Yeah. So do you have a loss? Can you get a refund? Yeah, exactly.
And
that's the complexity.
Yeah. And even if you do that, so let's say you drop down to 700,000 and then the following year it goes up to 800,000. You still haven't recouped your loss, but it went up 100,000. They tax you on that.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. I find it a hard time because a lot of these senators are rich themselves.
Correct.
Yeah. They call, what is it, Chris? They call the Senate the Millionaires Club.
Exactly. And, you know, it's interesting because they're fighting it. You know, the two names coming up, of course, are Joe Manchin from West Virginia. And he's very clear. He said, I'm not going to vote for this bill unless it comes down to $1.5 trillion, which is really saying I'll vote for it if it's $2 trillion. And then Kyrsten Sinema from Arizona, she's been real coy about playing her cards. She really hasn't said, she said she's not going to vote for it in the current format, but she hasn't thrown the card on the table yet and told us what she wants.
Right now, there's a lot of, I guess, infighting between the progressive wing, the moderates. What are the chances, Chris, they don't get anything done?
Well, there's some chance of that. And what's interesting about that, Jim, is it looks from everything I see, and I think you would agree with this, that the House of Representatives in midterms is going to go Republican. So that would mean if they don't get this legislation done now, then they're not going to get it done. Because as we go into next year, people are going to pay more attention. It's midterm elections coming up. And it's probably too late to get anything done then. So this is kind of this window maybe between now and the end of the year when they really got, there's got to be leadership that works out the differences that the progressives and moderates have to get this legislation through. And we need 50 votes in the Senate, that's clear. But the House is pretty close too. Nancy Pelosi only has a 3-vote margin in the House of Representatives. She can only lose 3 votes.
So if we look at this, Chris, I mean, think of what this is doing for any business owner or, for that matter, employees. Every yeah. time we get a new administration, at least in the 40 years I've been practicing in this business, every time we get a president, you get a tax law. Republicans lower taxes. Democrats follow. They right. raise taxes. So every president right. changes the tax laws.
Right. That's very true. And you know, they try to make something permanent, but nothing's ever permanent because, as you just said, it can be changed. And what's kind of interesting, when we think back to 2017, you know, Trump got through the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. So what happened? He lowered the tax rate. He lowered the tax rates and he increased the threshold dollar amounts that put you into the next bracket. And what happened to the revenue of the government? It increased. It increased.
Yeah, they took in $4 trillion of revenues.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yes, he did cap the salt thing at 10,000. But I'm telling you, the other interesting thing is $3.5 trillion. So think about, we've been talking about taxes, but what's in this bill? Well, there's all sorts of stuff like free community college tuition for 2 years, paid family leave, child tax credit of 3,000. I mean, all of those things, they're never going to come out of the law once they get in there. They're too hard to take them out politically.
You just kind of wonder how long this is sustainable because we're approaching $30 trillion at the rate that we're running deficits, and especially if they ram yes. this through.
Right.
You know, we could be running $3 right. trillion deficit. Chris, we could be at $40 trillion. I mean, some of this, at some point, they're going to have to devalue or do something to get rid of this debt because when you're $40 trillion, I was looking, we were doing some analysis. The government's budget was $6 trillion. And then they spent $3 trillion for COVID in 2020, so that it was $9
trillion. Right.
And they exceeded $9 trillion this year.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, there's a couple of things. So I got something in front of me. If you take this $3.5 trillion just the way it is now, it's going to change. But and you add up, and you add up three numbers. You add up the proposed major spending increases, the proposed tax cuts like the child tax credit, the green energy credits, and then the tax increases, corporate and individual, you're still short $314 billion, which means they'd have to borrow. And the other thing, they've kicked the can down the road on the debt ceiling. And the Republicans are trying to push the Democrats to do this on their own through reconciliation because it exposes them as to, because once they do it through reconciliation, they have to have a dollar amount, and that's going to expose everything. So you got debt that's mounting dramatically. And fortunately, we've had low interest rates.
I forget what economic group did an assessment. It's really not $3.5 trillion. The true cost of the bill is $5.5 trillion.
Yeah.
Have you
right,
read that?
Right. Right. The way they, yeah. Yeah, I have. Yeah. And the way they do the economy. And, you know, it's a good point because one thing that's in here, it's not a typo in my voice, Roth conversions will be disallowed for people making over 400,000 single, 450 married, beginning in 2032. So everyone says, but why 2032? Well, because they score this legislation over the next 10 years, and the Roth conversion generates income to the government. So they don't want to prohibit Roth conversions until we get outside of that 10-year window, right? So, and again, you know, this is a good example. I don't think that's ever going to happen because I have to believe the Republicans will have the White House and the Congress at some point before 2032, and they'll throw this one out.
So in terms of probabilities, 70% probability they get something through
yeah,
here?
Yeah, that's my view. Yeah, I think they'll work this out because I think the progressives realize that unless they come down on the $3.5 trillion, the whole thing could fall apart and they're not going to get anything. I think Manchin is willing to come up to $2 trillion to get something through. And don't forget, they've already passed the $1 trillion traditional infrastructure bill with 19 Republican votes. It hasn't got, it's gone through the Senate, but not the House. And, you know, the moderates, I think will work. They'll work this out. But you don't know. I mean, it could, there's a chance it might not ever happen before the end of the year.
Well, let me throw something out from a macroeconomic point of view. You've got the economy slowing down. They've lowered GDP estimates for third quarter. They've lowered them for fourth quarter. The Fed is talking about doing away with taper or cutting back.
Yes.
Oil
right.
prices yep. are at over 80 and Goldman says they could go to 90 and 100. I think we'll hit 100. So you got higher oil prices, higher inflation. And on top of that, Chris, you throw taxes. Did the Democrats realize what this will do to the economy before the election?
Yeah. And another thing that's interesting, Jim, is you got, I don't know how many, you could probably tell me, you got all these cargo ships sitting out off the coast of California. They can't come in because there's no one to unload them. So this is causing a lot of disruption in the supply chain, obviously. So all those factors. And I was with a guy yesterday in his car, and he just filled up with gas, a Mercedes. And it was $85 for premium. And I said, Brian, what did it used to be? He said around 50. So imagine the average American worker who's now starting to go back to work, starting to commute again, or someone that's driving a truck as part of their business. They're paying 20-25% more probably for gasoline.
There was a story in the Journal this week where you have some of the big box stores, Target, Costco, Walmart, are chartering private ships.
But they only carry
about 1,000 to 2,000 containers versus 20,000.
The super ones are 20,000.
And the cost for a 40-foot container went from 5,000 to almost 17,000 in a year.
So companies are going to have to put this increase. It hits their expenses. They're going to have to raise prices.
Oh, my goodness. So you expect Pelosi said she wants to get a bill done by October 31st. Do you think they get it done?
No, there's actually a few sites you can go to and bet. You can make a bet on when this will get done. And I haven't looked recently, but about a week or maybe 2 weeks ago, Jim, there's a 52% probability it gets done by November 1. I think that's actually a good bet because I don't think it's going to happen. So. My guess is it's more towards Thanksgiving.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's congressional recess. And then, you know, next year, Chris, it's an election year. So, you know, you're not going to get anything done. Everybody's going to be accusing everybody else of doing bad things. But, man, I'll tell you, if they really ought to be talking to their economists. You've got rising oil prices, rising gas prices, rising inflation, labor shortages, and then on top of that, rising interest rates and the Fed's talking about taper. You want to throw tax increases on this? Wow.
Yeah, wow is right. Yeah, exactly right. Yep.
Well, listen, Chris, as always, we appreciate you coming on the program and keeping us up to date. All the best. And listen, if we don't talk before the end of the year, happy holidays. Well, that concludes my interview with Chris Hennessy. It's going to be an interesting year. Probably, you know, I just, from what I'm reading right now, I think it's going to be difficult to get anything done by October 31st. I think Chris is probably right, maybe towards Thanksgiving. But hold on to your wallet, folks, because you're about to get taxes and higher taxes for the poor and the middle class with rising inflation. I'm Jim Poplava. Thanks for listening.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.